Thank you, Bob, for blessing us once again. Welcome, everyone, to Harbor of Joy, where we've gathered this morning to worship our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. I have a special welcome to those joining us online. Thank you for being with us. Hold on a second. Never to cough into the microphone. If you're a guest here for the first time, you'd like to fill out a card there in front of you in the pew. You can go ahead and do that and then drop it in the offering box that is in the back after worship service. We'd appreciate that. You may have noticed there's two inserts in the bulletin. One is pink in color and has a magnet attached to it. And this is from the Blessing Box Ministry for you to use as a point of reference for things to be donated. You're so generous in your donations, and we greatly appreciate that. I'd like to highlight something that happened this past week as I represent you while I'm here, in particular at church. A gentleman came into the Blessing Box area that's outside in the parking lot, and I saw him out there, and I went out because Dave told me, if you ever see somebody outside, make sure that they know we have eggs or milk or things in the refrigerator. And I saw the gentleman outside, so I went to him and had a conversation. Then I invited him if he needed anything more. And he said, well, and I said, we have eggs and we have hot dogs and things of that nature. He said, oh, that would be great. So I brought him inside. I gave him some extra blessings, filled a plastic grocery bag for him. And he literally said, this is helping save my life. So you guys, part of Harbor of Joy and those that donate to it, are helping, literally helping people feed when they have food, when they don't have food. This gentleman is working a minimum wage job in the community, so he's working hard, but it's tough to get ahead sometimes. So that food source that is in the Blessing Box is a great blessing. So that is there for you. The magnet is there for you. Some of us still have refrigerators that a magnet works on, so you can use that if you desire. I know some of us don't, so I just wanted to give you a heads up. If you try to get your magnet to stick and it won't, it's not the magnet, it's your refrigerator. The other insert is of great value for those of you who are part of the family of Harbor of Joy. Please fill that out. If you get bored during the message and I see you filling it out, I'm not going to harass you over it. But we'd like to get those filled out. We're developing a computerized database here, and that information will assist us in doing so. Fill it out to the best of your ability. Even after worship, if you're in the fellowship area, there's pens on the table. You can do it there. And then just drop it in the office before you leave today. If the office is closed, there's a box outside of the secretary's office, and you can drop it in there. But please fill that out to the best of your ability so that we can develop this database so we can be in better communication. And that's all about doing things to help the next pastor when he arrives. Just to let you know, the call committee shared with me that this past week, the gentleman who was supposed to be on a call interview pulled back before that interview took place, so that one didn't take place. But the call committee is still working, and we continue to pray for that process and that blessing as well. So in particular, keep the call process in your daily prayers. That's important. With all that said, I ask you to stand as we're going to share in our call to worship, which is based on Psalm 92. It'll be coming up on the screen as you see it. It is good to praise the Lord. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord.
I sing for joy when my hands have done.
How great are your works, Lord.
You, Lord, are forever exalted.
The Lord is upright and he cleanses my soul.
He is my rock and my salvation.
We continue in our time together as the praise team comes forward and we sing, Cleanse Me.
Moved by these words, based it on Psalm 139. This is a new song. When Matt Redman was asked what inspired him to write You Alone to Rescue, he said it could be expressed in one word, salvation.
Praise team. Please be seated as we continue in our time together with our prayer of the day, and we're sharing this together as it comes up on the screen. Please join with me. Jesus, you are the living water. We need you every day. When our souls are parched, refresh us through the fresh wind of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Cheryl, I invite you forward.
Good morning.
Oh,
hi. I'll take that. Our first reading is from the Old Testament prophet Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. Now hear God's word. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying his fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own god. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell to Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who's responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What's your country, and from what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What shall we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. This ends our first reading. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 38 through 42. Hear God's word. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." And he answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here." This ends our readings, and I invite Pastor Chris to come up and share this morning's message.
Thank you very much. It's a blessing to be able to have people participate in worship. Thank you all who greet or share or do technology or read or do fellowship each Sunday morning. We're grateful for that. I thought I'd start out with a joke before I dive deeper into today's message. So, of course, it's an Ole and Lena joke. Ole and Lena used to love to go to the old Metropolitan Stadium to watch the Minnesota Twins play. So if you're familiar with the Minnesota Twins, Metropolitan Stadium is a long time ago. I think it's 2 or 3 stadiums ago. Well, at every game they would attend, Lena would always bring a blanket, and she'd cover herself in the blanket. After watching Rod Carew and Harmon Killebrew both hit home runs and the Twins actually win the game, they were pretty excited. But on the way home, as they were going to Lake Wobegon, thank you, you're paying attention, that's good. As they were going to Lake Wobegon, Lena leaned over to Ole and said, "Ole, I've got a question for you. Don't know if you'll know, but I have a question for you. Why is it always chilly when we go to the Minnesota Twins baseball games?" Ole thought for a moment, as only Ole could, and he responded in this way, "Well, Lena, it's always chilly in the stadium because there's a lot of fans." I know some of you will laugh later on that one, so that'll be all right. It's good to laugh in church, and what a blessing it is to be able to be together to worship our Lord and Savior, to sing praises to Him, and just be blessed to be together in Christian fellowship. This morning's message is water. It's all around us, and we can't hide from it or God. Before we jump in, would you pray with me? Almighty God, You made the water that covers about 70% of Your creation. We can't hide from its presence, nor can we hide from Yours. Always open our eyes, ears, and hearts so that we may see the wonders proclaimed through Your word. I pray this in Your name. Amen. We're going to dig into a reference that was made last week. As some of you who were here last week, you may recall that a reading from Jonah was shared as Angie shared it. She shared from chapter 2, but I wanted to connect that with today's message that's based on the Old Testament reading from Jonah chapter 1 that Cheryl just read, because, well, we're in this water theme. Those connect, as does this gospel text you heard today that Cheryl read, and last week's gospel text connects as well. Some of you may recall last week's gospel text had a highlight of connecting with the Gentiles, the people that weren't of the Jewish tradition. And you heard from this reading today that Jonah was sent, he was commissioned to be the prophet to reach out to witness to the Gentiles, specifically to the Gentiles. That was a unique one. I don't know if you knew that. That was why Jonah went, was to reach out to the Gentiles. Those weren't Jewish brothers and sisters in Nineveh he was going to. They were difficult people. So he was going to reach out to them. Jonah being a prophet from God, and the world doesn't know a lot about Jonah, except for he was in a whale or a fish. Almost everybody knows that he was in there. It's a cultural thing, being swallowed by the fish, as the Bible story tells us, or by a whale, as some interpretation has it. But people who never opened the Bible know that, but they don't know why he was traveling on the water. Again, traveling to do ministry, to reach the people that didn't know God, didn't know the God of the Hebrew people, didn't know the Lord. He was going to those that were the Gentiles. It's a great story. I encourage you to read the entire book. Back in the 1980s, while Sarah and I were visiting her parents who lived in Puerto Rico, I had time to just relax and read. And I got this book out from Dad's shelf, and I was reading, and it was about a whale. It wasn't the book of Jonah, by the way. It was another great book. It was written in 1851 by Herman Melville, Moby Dick. Some of you may recall reading that. If you're not aware, Herman Melville combines three key biblical themes that run throughout the book of Moby Dick. The first, the theme of punishment and repentance. And we find that in Jonah as well. The second, the theme of mystery, of God's sovereignty when it comes to the question of evil and misfortune. And the third point, the theme of the destructive and satanic nature of pride. Melville went through all of that, and you can see that also in the book of Jonah. And it's almost as if Melville was like, I read the book of Jonah, how can I retell this for a new generation? Jonah's story is adapted, along with two other major themes, into the new story of a profound human question about life. Moby Dick is a great read. If you haven't read it, or you're a person that likes to look at movies or watch movies, there's a classic 1956 Moby Dick starring Gregory Peck. I got confused there for a second. You see that on the screen right now as King Ahab, Captain Ahab, and then Ron Howard's The Heart of the Sea is the next one that you would go to in this time. And then, I don't know if you're aware of this, Moby Dick is in a great movie that maybe you've seen it or your children or grandchildren, Pinocchio. I don't know if you've ever thought about that one. We know for sure that Jesus speaks in Jonah, in the Gospels, referencing that reading from today from Matthew 12. So it's not just an Old Testament prophet that got forgotten and his words and deeds are all over here, but it continues. In Judaism, the 48 verses of the book of Jonah are read on the holy day of Yom Kippur, often referred to as a day of atonement because of the theme of repentance found in the book of Jonah. And Jonah is different from all the other prophets because his book, it's unique in the Bible, is a story about a prophet. Think of this. It's a story about a prophet. It's not a story of prophecies. It's a story about Jonah and his calling from God and his work against that, but finally his work of God. The book is divided into two sections, if you weren't aware of this, by God's first call to Jonah, and he ran from that first call. And then God's second call to Jonah, he answered that call. And another point, Jonah's name means dove. I don't know if you were aware of that. A wonderful reference for us. Jonah's first appearance in the Bible isn't in the book of Jonah, though. It's interesting for us, we encounter him in a passage in 2 Kings. Jonah's a prophet for the northern kingdom. Remember, there's a northern and a southern kingdom. And he, in a sense, functioned as a chaplain of the Senate, Jonah did. He loves his country. He doesn't prophesy about doom and gloom. He prophesies about prosperity, actually. In his prophecies, he assures the king that the northern kingdom borders will increase and the kingdom will prosper if they do what God desires. Jonah's a perfect candidate to demonstrate that our awesome God has concerns beyond the borders of Israel, which the northern kingdom was part of. God loves everyone. We hear that in the scriptures. We hear him reaching out to those that don't know him, the Gentiles. Last week, that ministry that Jesus wanted to do to cross the Sea of Galilee was intentional to reach out to those that didn't know God, to the Gentiles. God desires to show mercy, not just to the people of Israel, but all to all the enemies as well of Israel. Jonah is referred to as the reluctant prophet. Some of you may have heard that before by theologians. And some theologians actually refer to him as the rebellious prophet. That almost seems to fit as well because he rebels against a lot of what God wanted him to do. And Jonah did something some of us may have done or are doing right now. He ran from God. He knew what God wanted, but he wasn't willing to submit to it. His preference was to run from God, not to submit to God. But ironically, if you look at the numbers, Jonah in his ministry to Nineveh was the most effective prophet ever. Think of that. He was the most effective. The whole city, even the animals, ended up turning to God. That's powerful. They repented and turned to the Lord. We need to be straightforward here. Jonah is real. Well, he was also a real sourpuss as well. If you know the story of Jonah, he wasn't this happy-go-lucky guy. He fought God. He was against a lot of things that God wanted him to do. He just didn't receive it and do it as we're called to do. He loved to pout and complain. He expected God to do what Jonah wanted on Jonah's terms, not on God's terms. And sometimes we live like that too. I'll make a deal with you, God. If I do this, will you do that for me? And we all know it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. Jonah's generous with one thing, though, judgment. And he's pretty stingy with grace, though. And that's what we're called to be overflowing with, is grace. Here's some good news, though. God accomplishes his purposes through Jonah. And through us, despite us, God will still accomplish what he needs to accomplish, sometimes despite us. And you may recall from our focus text, it starts out with the Lord's message came to Jonah. Powerful. This was Jonah's prophetic call. Go immediately to Nineveh, that large capital city, and announce judgment against its people because their wickedness has come to my attention. What an exciting journey that would be. I get to announce judgment against all you bad people. Huh, I wonder how that's going to work out. I want to share with you my loose translation of maybe what Jonah thought of this. He could have responded this way. God, let me give you a foreign relationship brush up. Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria. There are arch enemies. They're like the evil empire, God. I don't think I should be going there. It would be foolish to even talk to them. Plus, they're mean and smelly, too. But how does God respond to Jonah? Go to Nineveh. It wasn't like, all right, I hear you, but I still want you to go. It was a proclamation from God. Go to Nineveh. Do what I've asked you to do. God sent his prophetic prophet to proclaim judgment on Assyria's capital city. And this is the same Assyria that in 740 BC basically destroyed Israel. This is a tough group of people. It's not something to fool around with. But Jonah got up and went. Sort of, but Jonah snapped at a certain point. Instead of going to Nineveh by land, Jonah took a boat, as we heard in our scripture lesson. He took a boat and he went to Tarshish. Nineveh is 550 miles east of Joppa by land. Tarshish is 2,500 miles west of Joppa by sea. Jonah's willing to pay big bucks to take this boat trip. Probably last minute tickets. He wanted a nice room. So he paid the big bucks to not to do what God wanted him to do. Has that ever been you? You know what God wants you to do, but you don't do it. I've been there. I'm sure many of you have. You know what God wants you to do, but you back away from doing it for whatever reason, between you and God. I'll let you mull that over for a moment, what you may have been backing away from in relationship to God's desire for you as opposed to going forward. Back in Jonah's time, it would take a ship about a year to travel that distance. A year. It's a long time to contemplate life with God and what God wants to happen. He was really trying to get away from God as opposed to doing what God wanted him to do when God wanted him to do it. He wasn't ignoring God or even arguing with God. Jonah just wasn't going to do what God wanted him to do, almost going in the opposite direction of God's desires, spiritually and physically. This was a willful, deliberate, and flagrant rebellion against God. Maybe there's a little bit of Jonah in some of us. Historians tell us that Tarshish was so much more glamorous than Nineveh. Maybe that's why Jonah wanted to go there, to go to the nice place, to go to the big city with the big lights. Tarshish was, in a sense, in that day, a holiday destination for some people. Tarshish was on what is now known as the southern coast of Spain. It was remote and exotic. Excitement and adventure awaited Jonah when he would get there. The Old Testament book of 1 Kings tells us that there were gold, silver, ivory, monkeys, and peacocks in Tarshish. It was a distant paradise, an escape to go to. The travel commercials probably said something like this: what happens in Tarshish stays in Tarshish. This is where you went to get away from it all. He was hoping that he could get away from God. Can't happen. Psalm 139 says, you can't run or hide from God's presence. Hear that. We cannot run or hide from God's presence. We can try. Jonah tried. We can try, but it never works out. There's probably a little Jonah in each of us. We sometimes want to make ourselves disappear from our problems. We want to choose and decide what our own travel plans on life are and where we're going to go, when we're going to go, who we're going to be with, why we're going to do it. And oftentimes our feeble attempts probably just make God laugh. Like, really? You think you can do that? Remember that old saying, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. We need to do what God desires for us. St. Augustine wrote in the 4th century, God is closer to us than we are to ourselves. That's deep. God is closer to us than we are to ourselves. There's no escape. I have to ask you this. Do you have any personal Ninevehs you're running from right now? Challenges, issues in life, struggles? Maybe God's call upon your life is to do something for him and solve those issues with him through prayer. Maybe there's a difficult person or people group in your life that you think is beyond God's grace, but know that nothing is beyond God's grace. Is there an unpleasant or even scary task that must be faced? Face it with God. Is there an unresolved situation that must be addressed? Face it with God. It's human nature to avoid or avoid things that make us uncomfortable. Who wants to be uncomfortable? None of us do. I have an old car sitting out in the parking lot. Some of you may have seen it in the corner. It's not the most comfortable car. I'm not going to drive it across the country. But I'll drive it back and forth from Spirit Lake to here. It's comfortable for that distance. We choose sometimes our comfort over our discomfort. Sometimes God calls us to get uncomfortable and do what he desires for us. But we find it oftentimes much easier to withdraw, to escape. It's one of my life's challenges. Maybe it is yours as well. What's really helped me begin to face my fears, and maybe this will help you, is trying to figure out what new conflict or problem or situation that I'm facing could be created if I don't deal with this one. You get it? If I don't deal with what's in front of me, with what God's called me to do, what more negative possibility could be created because of the lack of doing what God wants me to do? What will bring more comfort? Doing what God wants you to do or doing nothing? To face our Ninevehs is important. God calls us to do that. God doesn't call us to avoid our Ninevehs. God calls us to face down with him leading us, with the Spirit behind us, the challenges that we have. Facing our own Ninevehs also helps us grow. Grow in our relationship with God because we're trusting more in him and then allowing him to work through us so we're doing his will. No matter the outcome, it's his will, and his will is to be done, as we know. It's important for us to think about not only what our Nineveh is, but also what our Tarshish is. In other words, where do you go to escape from God? To run from responsibilities? Some people drink. Some people spend hours on social media. Some people just avoid doing what God desires, for whatever reason. So many people prefer the Tarshish, that entity, over the Nineveh challenge in life. So I have to ask, where's the ship of your life pointed to right now? Is it just a Tarshish or maybe a Nineveh? Maybe your ship's not even in the water. I don't know. Remember we talked weeks ago about getting out of the boat, going on the water, because we trust God. Or maybe your ship is simply tied to the dock. I don't know. By the way, I don't know if any of you have ever been on the USS Iowa. I think it was decommissioned years ago, but that's a picture of it I found. Just simply tied to the dock. Maybe some of the challenges in our life is that we're just tied to the dock, and we aren't willing to step out. Jonah not only sought horizontal distance from God, but vertical as well. So the vertical distance he was seeking was to take a ship, get away from God. He didn't want to be with God either this way. He wasn't deeply connected with him. He He was going down. He was on this vertical descent from God. He actually went down five times. Here's the five times. He went down to the port, down into the ship, down into the deep sleep, down into the depths of the sea, and then finally down into the great fish, the whale, as we all know about. No prophet of God had ever sunk this low and working, doing God's will. Of course, he wasn't doing God's will, right? He was fighting against everything God wanted him to do. And that's why he kept going down and down and down. He was running from God. But the good news of that, and if we're running from God too, the good news is God runs after us. He doesn't say, good riddance. God is running after us when we separate ourselves from him, just like he ran after Jonah. Jonah may have been running from God, but the good news is God was running after Jonah. God pursued the reluctant prophet because he wanted him to do something that would change many people's lives. Just think of this reluctant prophet. God hurled a hurricane on the sea to get Jonah's attention. The ship was about to break apart, we understand. There's something about storms, even storms in our life that wake us up, that get our attention. Sometimes they're thrown at us. Sometimes life storms are self-inflicted by bad decisions we may make. Either way, storms strip us down to the basic. Just like the sailors throwing cargo over on that ship thousands of years ago, simply to stay afloat, even though the ship was sinking. What's some extra cargo you need to toss out of your life so that you can rise up even closer to God? Most of us have something. Our own self-righteousness, too much stuff holding us back. We've got to let go. We've got to let go and let God do what his desire is. To allow ourselves, in a sense, to be deconstructed by God in order to serve him better and more fully each and every day. We spoke last week about faith. Faith that has reckless abandonment towards God, to God. The British missionary Oswald Chambers talked about that. Stop running, he said. Stop grasping. Stop clinging to our lives and our plans. And I believe faith is getting out of the boat and away from the security of the dock and into the safe arms of Jesus, being guided by the Holy Spirit. Oh, by the way, were you aware that there's multiple names for the Spirit in the Bible? In the Hebrew text, Old Testament text, text like Jonah, wind is ruach, and it means wind, simply wind. There's different translations depending upon the context, but you get it, it's wind, ruach. And then pneuma is the New Testament, the Greek form for wind. And within the context, it can mean storms, it can be gentle breeze. There's a lot of different things for ruach and pneuma. The wind of God can be gentle, but the wind of God can also be like a storm, waking us up and putting fear into us, and sometimes just giving us a respect for God and his power. In the midst of all the commotion on the top deck of the boat Jonah was on, the storm was raging, but Jonah was deep asleep below the deck, oblivious to the storm that was going around him. Just like some of us are often oblivious to storms around us. We don't want to pay attention to them. We just hope they'll go away. But Jonah's sleep was different sleep than the sleeping that Jesus had in the boat that we talked about last week. In the storm on the Sea of Galilee, we've all done Jonah's sleep. In the midst of life's storms, we choose to fall asleep. We ignore our problems, pushing them down, pretending they're not there. Now they'll all blow over, blow away. And yet God still pursues us as he pursued Jonah. A voice sounded in the darkness, "Wake up and go. How can you sleep at a time like this, Jonah?" It's like deja vu all over again, as a great prophet once shared. The captain was using the exact same words in Hebrew that God used when Jonah was first called. Isn't that interesting? In the 48 verses of Jonah, it was used twice, the same Hebrew words. Get up from your sleep, Jonah, and go. God speaks to us through interesting people. In this case, Jonah was being spoken to by a pagan sailor, but speaking God's word. So often, we just need to listen to those people around us. But Jonah still wasn't praying or letting on. He stumbles to the deck. He doesn't jump up and go, "All right, God, I'm here for you." He stumbles up to the deck, and shipmates decided to draw the straws, as you heard Cheryl read about, to find out who the culprit of this problem was, of the storm. Of course, Jonah, poor Jonah, got the short straw. He couldn't hide anymore. He finally fesses up to the truth in a rather nonchalant way. "All right, I'm the problem." Just before the sailors, "I'm the problem. I worship the God. I've been running from him. I worship the God of the heavens and the earth, who made the sea and the land and the storm too. Yeah, that's my God. That's the guy I worship. My God's sovereign over everything, even the storm. My God alone can get us out of this storm." The solution is in verse 12 of our scripture reading. I want to encourage you to do this if you go on West Okoboji today. Throw him overboard. Jonah's like, "Throw me overboard. Get rid of the problem." Don't you do that if you're out on the lake and somebody's causing you a problem. This is the only time in this story that Jonah was unselfish. Well, the rest of the story is selfish. It's all about him and his desires. He's finally unselfish. The pagan sailors, though, refused to throw him overboard. The storm kept raging. They prayed for forgiveness. Then they threw Jonah overboard. The sea stopped raging. Because of Jonah's disobedience, these Gentile sailors, they didn't believe in God, were seized by the great reverence of the God who created the sea they were sailing on. They offered a sacrifice and vowed to serve the God of Israel, the God Jonah represented. But what about Jonah? Would being thrown overboard be his punishment from running from God? Was the famous whale or great fish the punishment for salvation for Jonah? Would God give Jonah another chance to answer his call? Or would Jonah finally succeed in escaping from God? What would happen to Nineveh? Would the city be destroyed by God? Well, I want to encourage everyone here to read the entire book of Jonah. How many verses is it? 48. Thank you. Those of you who are paying attention, thank you. 48 verses. You can read it in a moment almost. But let it absorb into you as you read God's word. Read the rest of the story and be blessed. After all, the story of Jonah is a powerful book that most of us can connect with because we've been Jonah in parts of our life. We're surrounded by challenges, but we know this, that we cannot hide from God and his love. Would you bow your head in a moment of prayer? Jesus, may we live as you desire and not fight each other in every direction. Cause us to understand the plans you have for us. Cause us to follow the wisdom set before us and to take action in your name for the blessings of your people. May we live beneath your cross each and every day so that we can glorify you, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite the praise team up to lead us in song at this time.
Of Jesus. There was a Scottish lady named Elizabeth Duffane. She was 39 years old in 1868 when she wrote this song, and she had very frail health, but in spite of that, she gave everything she had to help the poor and needy in her town. The people called her the sunbeam beneath the cross.
We join together in praying a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of thanksgiving for today's financial offering, as many of you have given to the offering box in the back or give electronically. Let's pray that prayer together that is almost all on the screen. I see a couple letters cut off, but we know what they are. Please join with me. God, thank you for the blessings of the time and our talents and our finances provided through your gracious love. We ask you to bless the tithes and offerings received this morning and throughout the week. Amen. We're going to continue in a time of prayer as well. I want to first start out with a prayer of special blessing for Vacation Bible School. So if you could just concentrate on the blessings of children and the volunteers. God, we thank you for people willing to step up and step in to serve you, especially amongst the children in the community. May this week's Vacation Bible School, this coming week, be a blessing, not just to the children, but to all involved. Bless and guide each and every person, and in your name we pray. As I continue to offer prayers as well, Sarah shared with me this prayer that comes from a prayer site that we go to and we have, and it fits so well with the scripture and the message today. And let me pray this. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, with the abundance of things we possess. We have lost our thirst for the waters of life, having fallen in love with life. We have caused to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new earth to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery. We're losing sight of the land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizon of our hopes and to push back the future strength of courage and hope and love. We ask you to be our Lord, to be the captain of our ship and our life. And we ask you, Lord, to continue to bless us as we bless others in this community through the Blessing Box ministry. We ask you, God, to continue to guide businesses to support this ministry through their donations. We give thanks for the so many people right here at Harbor of Joy who donate items that are listed in the bulletin insert. cause us to continue to care for others. And Jesus, we also pray that you continue to be with Mark as he rehabs. We thank you for his presence. And all those that we pray for who are feeling weak, that we know they need your strength, we take a moment and pray for them in the silence of our heart. God, we know you hear our prayers, prayers of comfort, prayers of guidance, prayers of boldness, prayers of healing. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayer, please. Jesus, be with the call process and the call committee as your Spirit guides the entire system. Be with them and be with us as we continue to follow you, the one who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our sending song, I ask you to stand for.
He just wants you, like Jonah.
Grip on me, God, you don't need me, and somehow you want me. you want me. The King of Heaven wants me. So this world has lost its grip on me.
Thank you, praise team, for leading us in music today. Before sharing the sending blessing, please know there's opportunity for fellowship afterwards. Those forms can be filled out today and returned to the best of your ability as well. And don't forget to take that magnet with you along with that insert about Blessing Box Ministry. Sometimes Well, God bless you and keep you. May the Lord, our Lord, guide you each and every day. May he guide you along a path that he's chosen for you. May he walk beside you. May he be behind you, encouraging you along that path, a path to joy and love to be shared with all people you come in contact with. I offer this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then, go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.